Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You have found it, my friends, the tip of the spear. Worldwide transmission against tyranny as we attempt to resurrect the old constitutional republic on the ashes of the transnational global mafia crime monopoly syndicate known as the New World Order. Thank you for joining us. We have a big show lined up for you today. 2 weeks ago, seems like 5 minutes ago, Joseph Farah had his maiden voyage with us here of WorldNetDaily.com. The iconic trailblazing alternative media mogul. And boy, it was news making. And I had a lot of questions that I wanted to get to that the hour just ran by. So he's joining us. Again, it was two Thursdays ago today. So here he is joining us on this 19th day of July 2012. And then my good friend, TV host, radio host here locally, but also hardware store owner, gun shop owner, evil entrepreneur. In fact, we have that if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer, we're posting this up at Infowars.com right now. In fact, it's up there now. We have this image here. If you're a radio listener, you want to go to Infowars.com to see it. You didn't build that. And again, the logic of Obama. Actually, you didn't build anything. If you... Chris Alanis here with Derek Einkoff produced an amazing rock and roll record. They didn't play the drums or learn how to play the guitar or do all that work staying up at night. Government did. In fact, that pelican right there behind me can't even fly. Without who? Without Obama. I'm telling you, folks, the sun shines because he's criticizing evil entrepreneurs. And look at that little girl. I bet she's even proud of what she built there. But he pops up like an evil leprechaun and says, no, 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 Kim Jong-un did. In fact, there is a video, ladies and gentlemen, up at Infowars.com where I worship Kim Jong-il and Kim Jong-un. I noticed they've got to be trolls on YouTube. A lot of people think I'm serious in my worship. Okay, if you don't understand, it's satire. It's kind of like when I endorsed Obama 2 days ago. In that video, I mean, it's wildly, oh, thank you for Valhalla and heaven. You make the grass grow, the birds tweet. Oh, thank you for going after the evil founding fathers and helping destroy evil America. It's not serious. It's called satire. When I do satire, it's over the top, and it's obvious that it's satire. And you know what? I enjoy satire. I think it's a way of not going completely insane with rage. And I know a lot of people out there do as well, but that is a side issue. But there it is. Alex worships Kim Jong-il. Very important video. It's 30 minutes of solid worship, by the way. Continuing here, you've got to see it. It's a little girl with, what are those, Dupla blocks or whatever? I know my four-year-old has those. Evil Dupla blocks. That's like the beginner for Legos. And they get very proud when they build something. But the North Korea spirit that Obama channel says no, no. In fact, in North Korea, one commenter did point out that, Alex, in North Korea, and by the way, I've confirmed this is true, if you say something bad about the leader, you basically have given not just yourself, but your whole family a death warrant. They punish entire families in North Korea. If you commit a crime there or badmouth the leader, people have been sent to prison there for folding a newspaper with the leader's picture on it. Well, I mean, the leader made the grass grow, the birds. I mean, they actually say in North Korea that the leader makes it rain. Of course they do. I mean, government here wants to control the weather now so they can be God. I mean, TSA has to, you know, do things to you to prove you're loving. People have been sent to prison there for folding a newspaper with a leader's picture on it and putting it into their pocket. The creases across the face is considered a crime. He is to be worshipped as God. That's the Chinese Empire made that comment. Sir, you are a criminal. It is not to be worshipped as God. He is God.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You have founded the tip of the spear, the front lines in the fight for liberty worldwide against status control freaks and the mega central banks funding giant collectivist drooling masses of zombie servants of control freakdom. We are live and transmitting worldwide on XM 166, blasting out on over 115 AM and FM affiliates, Global Shortwave, WWCR, Twitter, Facebook, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, number one talk radio podcast out there on Roku, Boxy, iTunes, number one on the audio streams on so many fronts. Thank you so much for joining us. Liberty is popular. We're going to be talking about that coming up because the authoritarians want to shut down your free choice on the web because they cannot compete, even in the stilted playing field with big mega globalist funding, MSNBC and the rest of them. They are stunted jokes that almost no one watches. And the people that do watch them are either wealthy limousine liberals who made money off government contracts who want to just hear how they're superior all day and how everyone's idiots but them, because that's that religion, or people that are so poor from government control on the reservations they live in, the plantations they live in, that they can't buy anything from the sponsors. So it has to all be, Bill and Melinda Gates ads that fund these type organizations. We're going to be talking about some of that today because the system is panicking. Obama front group attacks Drudge for linking to InfoWars. Political establishment in D.C. upset with Internet Maverick. And in case you thought I was just joking, George Soros routinely gives upwards of $3 million a year to Think Progress. And I did the math when I saw this morning. I talked about it yesterday, but Watson actually went and ferreted it all out. I knew I'd seen it in the federal filings for nonprofits that pose as watchdog groups. It's run by the White House. They have meetings at the White House. Same thing with Media Matters that poses as a watchdog. Talk about the fox guarding the hen house. I mean, this is a joke how they try to dictate reality to everyone. When I did the math this morning on Google Analytics and two other systems just quickly with an online calculator, according to Alexa, Media Matters and Think Progress, this is the biggest audience they've ever had. Even when they get plugged on MSNBC, we're much bigger. I mean, they're a joke. But it's important to talk about what a joke they are and how they think they dictate reality only to those in a trance state, though. People are waking up and realize, the whole thing's a total fraud. Drudge is 91 times bigger, Alexa, if you break down the numbers, than both their sites combined. And when I did the Google Analytics and broke down the numbers, it's over 100 times. So here they are dictating, and they say to the mainstream media, they say, you need to go after Drudge for his sneakiness linking to Alex Jones and Joseph Farah and others. As if it's not out in front of the, like they're telling you, oh, it exists now because we've done a year-long study of this evil. And it just shows the total disconnect with reality that these people have and how they think they control reality. No, what you do is you control our tax money, and then it goes to the robber barons like Soros, and then he feeds you. And they say in there, we've got to get Alex Jones at InfoWars.com off of Drudge because that's funding all of Alex Jones' evil. I went and checked with the accountant yesterday after this. I mean, I already basically knew, but I would estimate that it is true. The Drudge Report probably, advertising-wise, probably brings in about 7% of the capital coming into here. Oh, I'm sorry. You thought we had like one sugar daddy like you do, George Soros, or we got a couple. It says the White House groups and people that actually work. I mean, the transition team head. It is the White House. But it just let me realize that this is another great success, kind of like a year ago, 2 years ago, technically a year and a half ago, whatever. It was in the spring of 2011, so a year and a half ago. We reported off the Texas Power Commissions and others that the power plants being shut down was going to cause rolling blackouts and massive power increases. It was all over the local papers. And Drudge picked up our well-bibliographed and sourced article. And the White House responded and said it wasn't true and we were insane. An evil, unmentionable conspiracy site linked to by Drudge, they said, at the White House. The White House press secretary. or communications director, Jay Carney, responded and just said an unspeakably horrible website linked to by the Drudge Report. Yes, I was so unspeakably horrible that you're shutting down power plants that General Electric doesn't own. And we had links where you'd just given General Electric waivers so they didn't have to comply, but all their competition did. And a $3 billion power plant in Corpus Christi that was built over 7 years that you won't let us turn on. And now we have to buy our power from Mexico during hot and cold periods, extreme hot and extreme. I mean, you know, it was such a devastating article, and they just couldn't stand it to let America know they're gang raping you. And so they flounder and flounce. The White House doesn't like what we're doing. So everyone remember that with the dirty tricks and things we go through. And right on cue, the Washington Post calls up yesterday one of their senior writers and says, starts getting into the fact that I'm pushing the birther thing and is that, you know, basically dangerous. And I was like, my God, you got White House walking orders, didn't you? And then I had more calls coming in from national media. I mean, it's like somebody at the White House said, go after this guy. Because we've had it happen before. You can see how they get the orders and then boom, it just starts. And then they went on in the article, oh, it's so horrible. Drudge covers the birth certificate issue. You mean how he linked to the Associated Press yesterday covering it? I mean, this is news, folks. This is news. Yeah, there's MSNBC, if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, in gold. I mean, it literally isn't even registerable. There is InfoWars, many times bigger, in red. And there is the Drudge Report in blue. That's just on Alexa. But I'm not going to get into it anymore. Again, this is literally like an ant telling an elephant what to do. But this is their attitude. They are the anointed. They know. And they don't care if you don't want it. They don't care if they have a 9% approval rating. They don't care if you're against drones or the TSA. They don't care. When the Texas legislature voted unanimously in the House to ban the TSA groping people just to enforce the law, what did Obama say? He said, we're going to put F-16s in the air with a military blockade of any aircraft. I mean, you people are flaming authoritarians. There's nothing liberal about you. And again, if you go to InfoWars.com, we have an image. In fact, I'll show people the front page of InfoWars.com. If you're a radio listener, go there right now. Again, we're streaming all this at PrisonPlanet.tv. If you go there, you can see our little graphic that we basically knocked off somebody else's with a little bit better font there. It says, you didn't build that. And the image is a real image of Obama looking like some type of ghoulish entity staring at a little girl who's just built a Lego tower. And he's telling her, you didn't build that. And because that's what he's saying. In fact, can we cue up Obama again, the video? And where he says government did it. Government did everything. No, government takes our tax money and gives it to select interest who then deploy technology with back doors in it, which ends up, I've had top scientists on like David Stallman, which end up screwing up the programs. I mean, they admit Microsoft programs don't work very well because they've all got back doors in them reporting back to Microsoft. That's why for a long time, Apple has been so much better. Not that it's even perfect, but it didn't have as many back doors built into it. Now it does. Let me tell you, I was a PC guy for a long time. In the last 10 years, my wife got me onto Macs, and I'm never going back. Now I've been getting onto Linux, and that's even better. The problem is so many of the programs out there aren't open source built for it, but I'm slowly getting into Linux. By the way, let's get Dr. Stallman back on. He's always a cornucopia of knowledge, and he agreed. He said he'd come back on after he went to Asia for a while. Okay, so again, this story is not about the ant that roared over at the White House front group. By the way, I was on the phone once. This is the same group, whenever Media Matters. He's got all these White House actual staff working there. Called me up and I said, listen, you're funded by George Soros in the White House. The guy laughed and said, no, we're not. That's a conspiracy theory. And I pulled up online the federal filings and I said, George Soros, $3 million here, $2 million there, $1 million there. This guy's former White House communications director. This guy's former transition director. This guy was a deputy head of the campaign. And the guy went, oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about that. I mean, this was the head guy, the editor. I was like, dude, I'm not one of these blind sheep that you can just get away with telling them whatever you want. But see, they operate in this whole world where they've intentionally dumbed everybody down and put out this info. And then they're so confident from dealing with people literally in trances all day that they'll talk to you or me, somebody who's actually conscious and awake, like we're idiots. And if you watch MSNBC, all they do is talk about how they're geniuses and they're smart and laugh at everyone and talk about how they control reality. I mean, it's more Karl Rove than his statement about reality-based community. And it's just so disgusting that these people want to be in our houses, run our lives, take our guns, tax our property. And I've had enough. You know, I told you 15 years ago, because MIT and the Pentagon and others said they were going to do this. It's already a test program in Austin 4 years ago. It's a test program in San Francisco, D.C. London's trying to make it the law. Germany's doing it. Bay Area drivers could be tracked by GPS, tax per mile driven, CBS. I mean, they're putting the standard on everything now, folks. I mean, and they've always said that's the plan on top of gas taxes. And they always say, well, we're not raising enough of gas taxes. Those revenues are down. You go look at the revenues, they're way up. But this is, and they want this to shut the economy down. That they admit they don't want you driving. You think economy in California is sinking? It's going to sink 10 times faster. Listen, these people, let me explain something. These are not liberals, folks. Okay, they all write books and talk. We've shown you the quotes, how they're authoritarians that want to poison your food and water and are eugenicists. Okay, these people are vicious, horrible, demonic, hateful authoritarians who would be like Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il if they could. Okay, that's who they are. Enemies of humanity, period.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help.
Yeah, Kim Jong-il.
There was a great teacher somewhere in your life.
Stalin.
Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we have that allows you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. The internet didn't get invented on its own.
Al Gore did it.
Government research created the internet, so then all the companies could make money off the internet.
There you go. And up at Infowars.com, we have the child with the blocks. You didn't build that. Oh, man, what a con artist piece of trash. TSA signs off on flight school owned by illegal aliens. Oh, but wait, it gets better. They're going to send hundreds of TSA over to London to grope the people over there. Steve Watson reports on that via Sky News over in the UK. TSA gropers invade London for Olympics. We don't just get foreign troops and paramilitary and bureaucratic groping minders from foreign nations here. They get us over there. That's the New World Order. You send foreign police forces and militaries over to oppress the others. That's the beauty of the whole global government. In fact, I'm going to shoot a special video on that tonight. We will premiere either tomorrow on the radio or on the nightly news. Just to be clear about that. But going back to just some of the headlines at the evilinfowars.com, TSA signs off on flight school owned by illegal aliens. Bankers declare U.S. and Europe conquered. They actually claim it. This is a Paul Watson article. I asked him to do it a few days ago. He did get it together with all their public quotes, videos, you name it, statements of how they have conquered the world, but have us scared of Al-Qaeda they run. Also, Mark of the Beast, FBI wants tattoo database. And we already got the flyers where they ask tattoo artists to spy on what you're getting and report to them, but now they want them to scan it and put it in a database. I think that's pretty big news. Mark of the Beast, FBI wants tattoo database. Check it out and see how it ties into the Mark of the Beast. Obama front group attacks Drudge for linking to the evil InfoWars. Continuing, three U.S. aircraft carriers now in the Middle East with a fourth en route. 20 signs that all point to the exact same thing. Can you guess what it is? Collapse. Shock claim L.A. authorities and Rossum Milk raids were impersonating public officials. No. It just, of course, came out. They've got hundreds of people with fake badges doing whatever they want. The government gave them because it's a fake government. We are going to be covering all of that and a lot more today. There's also a report up there, Sylvester Stallone's oldest son, another victim of Big Pharma, just like what we saw with Whitney Houston and so many others. But don't worry, they're getting ready to approve OxyContin for small children. Okay, where to officially just kind of launch into everything here today? I thought I would get into this first. This is from the highly respected ratification of Law of the Sea Advances World Government. And by the way, that's an ode to Rush Limbaugh. It's not even so much copying him. You know, I grew up even in high school. That's how young I am. I'm only 38. Like a senior in high school listening to Rush. You know, even at lunch when I'd drive off, you know, with my friends to go get a hamburger down the street. And while I was, attending to the cheerleaders, I would listen to Rush Limbaugh, and I always liked him. Because that was in the days before, you know, internet TV for radio shows. Now most of them have, you know, a document cam, or not even a document cam, kind of a bird's eye view shot. So you can just see what the host is doing. What do they call that? A webcam. We actually have a five-camera shooting here for InfoWars Live 3 hours a day. And, of course, the nightly news. But that's a side issue. When we come back, ratification of Law of the Sea advances world government. And wait a minute. I mean, George Soros and the White House run Think Progress, another Stalinistic, Leninistic, creepy term group, because you know they run the thinking. They progress the thinking. They're wonderful people. The state builds everything. Look at all the heavenly things it creates. This is the Hill newspaper. See, the problem is everybody's starting to... All these big publications sound like Alex Jones now. This is terrible. This is horrible. I mean, my gosh, we need to have the White House denounce this admiral who's gone public quoting the treaty. That's the worst part. He even quotes it word for word where it's global government. I mean, these are bad people.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
What we are looking at is good and evil, right and wrong.
A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. We're not about to make that same mistake.
By the way, we're going to get the head guy from Ministry back on the show. He is a listener. Our incredible graphics guy makes a lot of their album covers, Cade, and just amazing music. Imagine back in the 80s, late 80s, exposing the New World Order. Hey, we're getting close to the end of 2012. Al thinks the world's going to end. So I'm going to have him back, I think, right before and then right after when the world doesn't end. Oh, boy, I tell you. Who knows? It might, though. As crazy as these globalists are. I certainly hope that's not the case. But, hey, Kim Jong-un is God, and he'll decide over in North Korea, even though they can't build a new automobile themselves or anything. I thought the state builds everything. In fact, again, on the front page of InfoWars.com, we have today's featured story graphic there. It's a real photo of Obama with a little girl, and it says, you didn't build that. With our little Lego set there. And again, that's how asinine what he's saying is. I mean, you go out and plant a garden and grow it, you didn't build that. You didn't grow that. You go out and make a record, you didn't do that. You go out and learn how to play piano, you didn't do that. You go and take, you know, a couple years of martial arts and then learn how to do some pretty amazing things. You didn't do that. You go out and start a business, a restaurant, and bust your butt 12, 14 hours a day and become successful. You didn't build that. Oh, but let me tell you, when you fail investing all your money, the IRS still comes after you and takes your house. No, they want you dependent until they collapse the country. And then all the illegal aliens and the welfare people, they're up the creek without a you-know-what. And, of course, TSA, following the policy, Obama has legalized many of the illegal aliens. They're allowing them to vote, do anything they want. Now the TSA is announcing that this is a story up at Infowars.com. TSA signs off on flight school owned by illegal alien. And the illegal aliens went to a school owned by an illegal alien. I mean, the only way to get rights in this country is to become an illegal alien, because I guess the globalists are like these UNOID world government immune people. Then they just see anybody they're using to bring down the U.S. as their comrade. So there you have it. There you have it. But boy, as a citizen, I mean, I get treated like I am Al-Qaeda. I mean, I'm not Al-Qaeda. I'm not being landed by, you know, NATO ships in Tripoli to blow things up. I'm not being brought in by NATO to attack Syria. I mean, I'm not. I'm against Anwar al-Awlaki hanging out secretly at the Pentagon. And that's why I'm a bad man. I told you all these years, and now it's going in Europe. There's TV ads here about how great it's going to be. Oh, have you heard the new thing? There's GPS built into all the new cars globally. It just so happened to happen. It's not a big plan or anything. And we're going to tax you by the mile on top of your gas tax and track everything you do. And also give you tickets, because from point to point, we can tell if you're speeding. How's that sound? It's going to be really great. You know, like in 1984, man. Gee, it's going to be good. Why don't we put Kim Jong-un in charge? Here you go. Bay Area drivers could be tracked by GPS, taxed per mile driven. CBS News. But again, I'm still a conspiracy theorist because you know, folks, let me right now just alert. Let me alert all the George Soros media watchdog groups that pose and say we're nonpartisan and who lie and say we're not connected to the White House. We're just in meetings every week and have all these White House staff working here publicly and get funded by. But there's no world government. There's no plan to take your rights. There's no NDAA. None of it exists. Don't be extremist. Don't be dangerous. Don't cause violence. Don't do any of it. Just trust the government. Trust the media. Shut down the alternative. They're dangerous. It's horrible. Have you figured it out? No one's listening to you. But here's the hill. Every day now, I see prestigious, respected publications that sound like Alex Jones has now taken them over. But you see, Alex Jones didn't take anything over. Alex Jones read what the globalists have said, and I've played the clips of all these world leaders from Von Rumpy to you name it, calling for world government. And I've read you the quotes. I mean, they've had George Soros groups come out and say, I'm lying that John P. Holdren called for sterilants in the water. He just wrote four books saying it. Yo, we show you the book, the quote, blow it up, and they're like, this is incredible lies, the slander of this person. No, they think you're idiots. Are you idiots? Are you idiots? Do you like being idiots? We went down and talked to Obama supporters 2 days ago. We're going to premiere it tonight on the Nightly News. Would have had it last time. There's just so much footage. And they're just like, he is just so real. I met him today at the fundraiser. Oh, my gosh, he's so good. I mean, this is like one of the women that got in the car with Ted Bundy. He's such a nice man, nice suit, nice tie. I remember watching in the Ted Bundy trial, the second one after he escaped once for another murder, and the judge, you've seen it on TV, is like, you're such a nice young man. You could have gone on another path. Why, you could have been my assistant. You could have been my son-in-law. I like you. Whew. I mean, it's like people have this, a lot of weak-minded people do not instinctively want to run over tyrants, want to crush them. Okay, a lot of these cowards, they have cognitive dissonance, learned helplessness with a core of Stockholm syndrome. And that's what they do. And when they get scared by something, they decide to grovel to it. Well, not me. Not me. By the way, let me tell you how the universe works. When you don't grovel is when you become empowered and enlightened. all of you that wonder why you're such pathetic jellyfish, you know, some of the new listeners out there driving along in their cars or whatever, you wonder, it's because you live in fear, ladies and gentlemen, and fear is infected. It is transmissible. It is a vector. It spreads. It is a disease. But again, I just want to notify the White House, it's time to, because you're the gatekeepers and you control reality. So if you tell us that Obama's against the NDAA, then we learn he actually had his lawyers write it, and then he promises to not sign it to kill opposition and then does sign it. I mean, I better just go with the first thing I was told. The NDAA is not law and Obama did not sign it, because I'm going to believe my president, even though he did sign it. What is that sound? Oh, that's the sound of government creating milk and honey. Put it on screen. It's the crying when Kim Jong-il died. Government, you built everything. Oh, everything's collapsing. And if I don't cry properly, me and my entire family will be executed or sent to a forced labor camp. By the way, this went on for 3 days. Sorry, but please get that off screen. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Earlier you were playing that during a break. I was like, oh, I was around the corner. I go, that's fake weeping and wailing. That's even worse, you know, when you catch your children doing something really bad and they're further getting in trouble and the fake crying starts. You're like, stop that. My oldest daughter will go, aah! All right, enough of that. Guys, the point is that where is George Soros and White House posing as watchdog groups? And then lying to the public and saying they're not funded by the White House or George Soros because they think you're all stupid. I mean, we need them right now to go after the Hill. I mean, ratification of law of the sea advances world government? What? That doesn't exist, even though the globalists are bragging in hundreds of publications that world government's been established. Ratification of law of the sea advances world government. Ratification of the United Nations. Oh, this is written by Vice Admiral Robert R. Monroe. Oh, man, the extremism is just spreading. And by the way, he goes and quotes the actual document. That shows even more of the mental illness, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, we need to just, I now support North Korea's model because Obama said the state built everything. You can go to Infowars.com and see a photo of him there. You didn't build that little girl with the Legos. So we need to have this entire America, which is what they're doing, collapsed so they can bring in true communism. We need to scrub and disinfect this entire thing. And here's Judge Schmales from Caddyshack giving the order because he knows best, ladies and gentlemen. And he is such a good person.
I want the entire pool scrubbed, sterilized, and disinfected.
Oh, look. Look, they found a little government minion, a TSA agent. It's okay.
There it is.
Nothing to worry about.
It's no big deal.
Are you my pal, Danny? All right. Now get Boss Hogg ready. But let me just continue here, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to have, I've learned the globalists don't like being made fun of. That's the number one thing that upsets them. They want to be taken very seriously. They want you to be scared of them. And they, just like George Soros' Think Progress was like, media, it's time to go after Drudge and teach him. You know, even though he dwarfs all of them, even the New York Times now, it's time to show him that we know we caught him. We caught him linking to bad people. We control reality, not you. We do. This is how pathetic they are. Call their bluff. They're a bunch of chicken neck authoritarian control freaks and confident good winners aren't trying to control people, so we just let them run the planet. It's time, intellectually, politically, to stomp them into the ground. Let me continue, though, here. It's horrible. The news of the global corporate government taking over is getting out there. How will they ever have their global corporate government when it's hiding in plain view if we say we don't want it? But we're supposed to just have it being set up in plain view and all the publications saying it's great. But then if you say you don't like it, it doesn't exist and you're crazy. And I'm supposed to just go, oh, well, George Soros and Media Matters said so. So, which almost no one visits. You can look at their traffic rank. It's like a small, you know, newspaper in a small town. I mean, you know, literally a joke. 50-plus employees, tens of millions a year spent, and they can't even get any attention because no one likes you. No one wants to be around you. Everyone hates you. That's why you want to fluoride and dumb everyone down with your government schools so we're all a bunch of drooling sycophants lower than you because you're piles of crap and you feel bad about yourself. Just give up and realize how bug-eyed and pathetic you are. Just look at yourself. Go look at yourself in the mirror. Go out in public. Everyone hates you. I mean, it's obvious. Come on. Stop poisoning our water and telling us we should die and reduce our population. You are projecting your self-loathing on us, globalists, and your minions, okay? I'm not for suicide. I wish you'd wake up and join humanity. But you know what? Before you kill more of us and try to trick little kids, you know, into taking Gardasil shots that ends up killing a lot of them or having 12-year-olds go get abortions without telling their parents, why don't you just kill yourselves? How's that sound, okay? Before we die. How about you get off the planet? All your re-education camp plans and the rest of it. Hey, you people can't tie your shoelaces. The only reason you've gotten so much power is because you tricked good people and used good people's tax money to hire smart people that this country produced, rugged individuals to create your system, and you've given good people false narratives to follow your program of evil. You are authoritarian crud, and everyone knows it. You filthy trash. You are fellow travelers with Kim Jong-il. Look at your soul. All right, that's enough. Now, I'm sorry that you do not control reality now. And I'm sorry that Vice Admiral Robert N. Monroe, retired, read the Law of the Sea Treaty and pointed out its global government. Again, it's just terrible that this is all being openly discussed now, isn't it? Ratification of Law of the Sea advances world government. Ratification of the United Nations. Ratification of the United Nations Law of the Sea Treaty would be a giant step towards world government. The principal purpose of LOST are to transfer technology and wealth from developed and underdeveloped nations and to increase exposure to international litigation. Consider two quotations from the LOST preamble. Yeah, it gives even all the major contiguous waterways like the Mississippi and the Colorados and all of it over to international regulations that they now bring foreign law in. That's why the state police and the feds, every couple hundred square miles, are buying these big machine gun police boats and all this stuff. I mean, it's big time takeover. It's fines, fees, federally, internationally. You think, you know, you go out on Lake Travis here in Austin, you get harassed by cops. How about some feds? How about some TSA, baby? From the LOST Treaty, achievement of these goals will contribute to the realization of just one equitable international economic order, which takes into account the interests and needs of mankind as a whole. See, the globalists will speak for mankind. And in particular, the special interests and needs of developing countries. Yeah, it transfers our wealth to globalist-controlled third-world countries. The seabed and ocean floor and the subsoil thereof beyond the limits of national jurisdiction. That's over 90-plus percent of the world's oceans and waterways turned over to the UN to tax. As well as its resources are the common heritage of mankind, the exploration and exploitation of which shall be carried out for the benefit of mankind as a whole. Remember, the robber barons created the UN. This is also they can shut down whoever they want. Just like when the Rockefellers would send in Pinkerton people to slaughter folks to take over their own property that had gold on it. So that's how they operate, ladies and gentlemen. Oceans and seas cover 70% of the Earth's surface. Yeah, it's 76. In these decades and centuries to come, the seabeds of this vast area, more than two-thirds of the planet, will become the immense source of oil, natural gas, and rare essential minerals. If we do not ratify LOST, America will be free in the future, as in the past, or use our own advanced technology, our entrepreneuring spirit, and oh, that's bad, you didn't build that, and our national vigor to develop the seabeds of these waters as we choose. But if we ratify LOST, many aspects of our exploration, development, and production of these resources will be controlled by the bureaucracy established by this treaty, as we will be required to pay LOST many billions, possibly trillions of dollars in fees, royalties, and profit sharing. And it just goes on to talk about the global government sections in it and how it also puts the Navy under UN control, which is banker control. Yes, it's global government by the bankers. Now, this article is important, and it's up at Infowars.com. But I want to direct you to this article that I asked Paul Watson to red link. I just asked the guys to red link that for me, so I have to call Watson. Thank you. Bankers declare U.S. and Europe conquered. And it's got the video clips, their own statements, their own admissions, video of it, mainstream news. I mean, it's got 14 links to Financial Times of London, YouTube, Rothschild's websites, Scientific American. It's all there where they say they took over and conquered through economic espionage. Okay, so let me explain. The bankers run the world government that exempts them from all the laws they put us under. Meanwhile, they've got us giving up our rights because of Al-Qaeda. That is a simulant they control. I understand it's fun to hate the Muslims. It's very fun. And I understand there's a lot of extremists and stuff. I get all that. Clash of cultures, I got it. The point is, that's simulated. That's synthetic. Most of it is. And even if it was real, give up all your rights, have the TSA stick their hands down your pants, have checkpoints on the highways, all the borders are wide open and illegal aliens are given waivers. This is targeted at America. This is the authoritarian takeover. Homeland Security is the occupational sympathizer terrorist force.
Well, TSA, needs to stick their hands down my pants, but they're giving illegal aliens a free pass.
It sounded so good, I got an idea, I'm gonna go there.
Yeah, I mean, if I went down to Mexico and just announced, hey, I'm here for the free health care, and I'm gonna go to flight school without any IDs, the TSA's like, go right in, sir. I've been at the airport and seen it where illegal aliens just walk up, mumble something, and they're just, oh, you're all right through, because criminals run this country. The TSA is your slave training, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Joseph Farah is going to be joining us in the second segment, about 8 after, in the next hour. We're going to pick up where we left off, all things Lord Obama, and also what's happening with Mitt Romney, the drone that visited Mr. Farah's rural, secluded retreat. Buzzing around lovingly. I mean, what do you expect in a free country? Remember, Mr. Farah, you didn't build WorldNet Daily. The government did. And that child on the cover of Infowars.com, you didn't build that either. Go see what the child is doing. Very evil activity. In fact, other children didn't help. So it should be illegal. It should only be a communal exercise there, so we can all join with the oneness. Oh, I can't wait to have Agenda 21 fully in charge and have daily minders that drop by my house and boss me around in home inspections. Oh, and the animal ID and premises ID already going in. It's so good to be bossed around by people in uniforms just on a routine basis. Even if you try to go hide in the woods and camp, they show up now and boss you around on your own family's property you've had for 180 years. It's so good. And again, I just want to apologize. You know what? Explaining banker world government, here's Boss Hogg explaining why the banks will loan fiat made-up money to Europe and everybody else to pay off debts the banks created and too big to fail, but the media tricks everybody to think that it's really their debt and points at the welfare class, many of them on welfare because the economy has been purposefully bankrupted and the jobs shipped overseas out of Europe and the U.S., that's the globalist plan. Then they foreclose on it and now can dictate to you and control you through money. But here is Boss Hogg to explain it to folks.
Boss, can I ask you something?
Yeah, what?
Why would you extend credit to those carnival people when you know they ain't got a dime in their jeans?
All right, I'll tell you. Because that's the best time to extend credit to anybody, cowbill. You see something? That lady ain't never gonna sell enough tickets to pay the rent on the fairgrounds, what was a star attraction laid up in the hospital back in Cedar City.
Ooh, no.
You see, that promissory note she signed pledges all the show's property as collateral. And if she can't pay the rent, why, all I gotta do is foreclose and the whole shebang. The whole carnival of thrills is mine for 5 cents on the dollar.
And that's what the globalists are getting greased for, less than 5 cents on the dollar. Max Kaiser met with Mr. Forbes, and he was just bragging how they were taking it over last year when all this started over there in Greece. You see, that's the plan, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why George Soros' groups publicly say, shut down InfoWars, cut off our funding. They actually say, we've got to get their funding cut. Well, see, You haven't impoverished everybody yet. Okay, and the show's growing. So even though we're in a depression, we're getting more capital thanks to people buying books, videos, T-shirts, supporting our sponsors. So everybody, get the word out about InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, because you see the instinct of these poverty pimps that pose as liberals. It shut people's money off. What does Bilderberg say? They want to make people so poor they can't come protest them. They say that every year. They are angry that they can't fully bankrupt you and get you under their control. Their whole world is about impoverishing. Their whole world is about systems of hierarchical control. As Margaret Sanger said, I'm not a liberal. I want to kill all the blacks. And I'm going to pose as liberals and hire blacks to do it. And black people, many of them, are taught to worship Margaret Sanger, who called them subhuman weeds. Again, these people are not liberals. They're monsters. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I have been ranting through the unbelievable news in the last hour of worldwide transmission. And coming up, he was on 2 weeks ago with us. A lot of amazing information we covered. We're going to get into the campaign, talk about Obama and just the otherworldliness of a U.S. president. I think McBrain said it good in the hallway yesterday. He just said, man, it's just weird hearing a president badmouth entrepreneurs like that. It's just because even though they've always preyed on us in the last few decades, at least they paid lip service. But now it's just you didn't do jack squat. Kim Jong-il did everything. I mean, look what he did. Governments create nightmare scenarios over and over and over again. Even if you get a good one for a while, bad people get in control. Anything that can give you anything you want can take it away. And they're only giving you something taken from somebody else. And these globalists are a weird group of control freak, mentally ill scientists. That's what really runs it. That's who the robber barons, you know, go to these weird scientific conferences and worship each other. And I watched it on C-SPAN when Holdren or some scientist comes before Jay Rockefeller and they start just groveling. And I mean, literally for like 10 minutes worshiping them, because it's a weird cult they're into. And they think it's going to give them life extension and all this. And they've got this big plan and they hate the general public. And so they try to dumb the general public down. And the globalists really hate anything that's strong, and you know, they try to export these mutated Hollywood cultures into the general population to wreck it, and they write books. I've seen globalists and Hollywood folks write books of how they're trying to wreck society. I mean, it's just a group of saboteurs, so we have to sabotage their evil. And the best way to do it is just frontally charge it, but also, if you're in a position where you can't do that, to basically just occasionally do what you can against them, because all of that resistance ends up adding up, building up in the sum, final sum equation. Even I get distracted watching this stuff in the background. Some people like the new background, others don't. We're just building a lot of new studios here, a lot of new places to shoot, bringing in a lot of new cameras, a lot of new graphics. Getting ready to hone the official TV show down, hiring some more reporters. So we're getting ready to hit our afterburners and go to the next level, thanks to all of you supporting us. Because if George Soros and the White House and others are squealing and yelling and don't like what we've done so far, you're not going to like what we're going to do next. In fact, can we come back with How You Like Me Now? Just for the White House that has its attack dogs coming after us. Now, again, people are like, ooh, the White House, they launch all these wars and drones and all this. Why don't they come after you? They do that through a bunch of criminals getting together and making up a bunch of fake garbage. And then through consensus, so not any one of them can be blamed and go to prison, though Sarkozy probably will now. But individually, they're incredibly weak. It's this big crime collective that they're part of to commit all their murders and all of their atrocities and all of their abominations that they engage in. They're really just a committee of cowards. That's why they love drones. They love killing people at a distance. They love giving medals to the people that do it. They love just killing some innocent people and claiming it's Al-Qaeda when they actually run Al-Qaeda. I mean, this is what really, really, really excites them. It's what floats their boat. It's what makes their world go round. It's what really, at the core, embodies these globalists. So we got a bunch of key economic news, a bunch of TSA news, and we've got a top retired admiral analyzing all the sea treaty, saying it advances world government and basically ends U.S. sovereignty to a great extent. That's an important report. And Paul Watson's report, now red-linked at Infowars.com, bankers declare U.S. and Europe conquered. It's an amazing report with 14 instances of them saying they've conquered the planet Earth through their criminal fraud. It is pure criminal evidence of their crimes, with them confessing to it in their hubris and arrogant orgies of bloodlust.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, the 19th day of July 2012. Joseph Farah, the creator of one of the most prominent constitutional liberty-based media outlets in the world, is our guest. He joined us a few weeks ago for his maiden visit. I don't know why in the last 17 years on air I have never gotten him on, but here he is. And a lot of news got made out of his interview here 2 weeks ago, both on the fact of drones, but also on the evil of some of the George Soros White House funded groups. You talked about mixing Joseph Farah and Alex Jones is just, I think they described it as, you know, chlorine bleach being mixed with something else and explosive. It was just so horrible that we described the system as Orwellian, and that we talked about how crazy everything is and how Obama constantly lies. I mean, it's just bad. What's really bad is that InfoWars gets roughly 5 to 8 times a week the traffic MSNBC.com gets, and the same thing for WorldNetDaily.com or WND.com. What's really horrible is that the Drudge Report gets about 91 times the traffic of both of George Soros' White House-run Media Matters and Think Progress. See, that's what's really horrible and dangerous is the dinosaur media is stumbling around dying in front of us. But like a cornered rabid dog, they are dangerous, make no mistake. And they don't control the heartland of America. They don't control everything, but they do control the money, so they can loot that and legalize the illegal aliens and have the TSA open up flight schools run by illegal aliens for dozens of illegal aliens. But citizens have got to have TSA, you know, grab your two-year-old daughter and drag them behind closed doors as they cry, and as defrock priests have their way with them publicly. Again, this is the giant re-education of America that they've talked so much about, and Paul Watson has an article. Banksters declare U.S. and Europe conquered, with 14 instances of the banksters and the media announcing that we are under a global government run by megabanks, but that it's a good thing. But then when somebody like Admiral Robert R. Monroe in The Hill writes about ratification of the law of the sea advances world government, now he'll have to have George Soros group come out and wave a magic wand and say, we control reality. That's extreme. So I love how the so-called liberals, who are really just authoritarians, always believe they control reality and they dictate. They have this obsession with establishing things that they call nonpartisan groups that arbitrate, and they tell you what reality is. I mean, imagine getting up in the morning and coming out and starting a group and just saying, we're nonpartisan and we tell you what's really happening. And then it turns out it's 180 degrees from the truth. And then no one really reads them, but they take themselves seriously. But I guess they do have their El Presidente in there, so I guess we should watch it. Joseph Farah, they really got upset by your statement about if Obama gets reelected, they're going to hunt us down like dogs. But I noticed in the Salon article and others, almost every comment said, yes, let's kill Alex Jones and Joe Farah. And I saw some of the handles were actually writers over at Salon, and they agreed that we should be killed, but we're crazy to say that they're violent.
That's exactly right. See, we're the conspiracy people, but it's the conspiracy is against us. I mean, the conspirators are actually the very people pointing the fingers at us. I have a lot of experience with what you just said in terms of the left being an authoritarian mindset. I don't know if you caught the piece I wrote a week or two ago. It was a personal confession that, you know, as a young person, I was actually a commie.
Oh, my gosh, I missed that.
You know, I mean extremist. I actually, Alex, you know, ran around with Bernadine Dorn and Billy Ayers and Jane Fonda and people like that back in my misguided youth. So I know how this works. I know what they want. I can even speak their language because I'm so familiar with it. And when you say, you know, look, they're not going to be happy. They're not angry that Alex Jones has a big audience. They, and or Joseph Barra, they don't want us to have any audience at all. They won't be happy until we got to go out on the street with a soapbox and talk to people that way. They want to drive all opposition voices, not only off the internet, but of course talk radio and the whole nine yards. That is an authoritarian. It's worse than authoritarian. It's a totalitarian mindset.
By the way, I thought you were being sarcastic and were about to describe Obama. You tell us about your article. Tell us the headline. We'll put it up from worldnetdaily.com. I mean, I get because you were very young as a conservative to run major newspapers and things. You're saying your real education was early on. You actually fell into the underworld of the miscreant authoritarians posing as liberals?
Yeah, the column is called Confessions of a Former Communist. And what it's really about is the fact that, you know, being a part of that kind of radical extremist viewpoint, and I'm talking about the you know late 60s, early 70s, I had every advantage you could imagine. People were rolling out the red carpet. I was being, because of my radicalism, I was offered a free ride scholarship at college. Not because of my grades, not because of anything, but they liked the fact that, here's a future leader. And I really believe that, you know, somebody like Barack Obama had the same kind, a little bit later, he's a little bit older than I am, or a little bit younger, I should say. He experienced the same thing. I don't know who his parents were.
Okay, have you hung around with communists? I've interviewed a few of them and gone out to dinner with them just to see. And as soon as they get three drinks in them, they start going, we're going to kill everybody when we take over. No, I'm not joking. I mean, I've had crew with me when well-known communists have come to town or are socialists, and then they say, I'm really a Marxist-Leninist, and when we take over, we're going to kill everybody.
I was actually being encouraged as a teenager to go out and blow up chemical plants and oil refinery plants and things like that because they figured, he's underage, and if he gets caught, he's not going to get a life sentence or the death penalty if he kills somebody. I mean, I have been through it all as a young person inbred with that kind of mindset. And so, you know, this is why I have an understanding of what's going on in this world today. Now I see a maniac like the maniacs I knew back then in the White House. Now, how do you think that makes me feel?
You're concerned. You know him. No.
I mean, he hung around with the same people I did. And in fact, in his case, we know for a fact that the Ayers family actually put him through Harvard. I mean, this is, you know, I was offered a free ride scholarship to Antioch College, which was the breeding grounds for left-wing leaders. The next step from there is to become a Rhodes Scholar, and on you go. And, you know, Obama had it even better. I mean, he had the Ayers family paying for his Harvard education.
Well, again, three separate times. Once I flew somebody here, two other times I went out to dinner when I was in New York with socialists because I was invited to dinner just in, you know, with groups that I was already with. They said, oh, we're not bad. You know, the Democratic Party's not bad. Why don't you go to dinner with us? And then after they've had a few drinks, it's like this, they're usually really wimps. They're extremely wimpy. They never really lived. They're normally real sheltered. It's always some elitist restaurant or some, you know, high rise penthouse. They're always trust fund, you know, type people. And then they look you in the eye. And all three times they had big followings as well. Some of these are well-known people. And they start talking about, Alex, you should just join us because we're going to kill everybody. We're going to, once we get control, we're going to kill. Blood is the answer. And I'm like, are you serious? And I mean, these are like crazy people. who, by the way, have probably never been in a fist fight, probably never helped somebody on the side of the road with their head partially chopped off, blood spraying out.
Probably never fired a gun either.
No, exactly. They have no idea what they're even talking about. These are the useful idiots. But, I mean, did you experience that, this lusting to kill people?
To be honest with you, no, I didn't. I never got to that point, and I can tell you that, you know, I crept right up to the edge, but I didn't. I never followed through. For instance, when I attended meetings where I was instructed on how we were going to go blow up a chemical plant, and I listened, and something in my conscience said, don't participate in this. I still had a conscience, and I think that, you know, what's the difference between me and, you know, some other people who never came out of that. By the way, this is what you have to understand about, you know, this progressive thing. This socialist thing, is it's like a religion, okay? I never actually became a full-blown believer, I guess. It never got to me as something so visceral, even though I participated in riots and demonstrations and was arrested and all kinds of things like that, and talked the talk and, you know, walked the walk. There was something preventing me from, you know, making that last step, which is the point of no return, I guess.
Wow. And now we have a president. We're going to go to break, and I want to get into his statement that you didn't build it. If you make something or you create a song or a painting, nothing. He says the state did that.
Man, if you can't run against that guy and hang him with his own words, then you don't deserve to be president. I mean, he is providing Romney with more ammunition than, and I don't see Romney utilizing it very effectively, but that's the problem we got, you know. It's like, do we really have an alternative here?
Well, that was my next question. I mean, Romney in the past, when he's actually in power, gun control, open borders, abortion, carbon taxes, Obamacare, he says a lot of things that are good on the surface, but I mean...
Well, you know me. I wrote the book in 2008. None of the above. I got a lot of flack from a lot of friends for taking that position. I knew how bad Obama was going to be, but I actually thought, you know, McCain wasn't a whole lot better. And maybe what we needed was a dose, a little taste of totalitarianism to get the people to rise up.
Stay there. I want to hear about that when we come back. Joseph Farrow, WorldNet Daily, is our guest. WorldNetDaily.com. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com. When I eat you up.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Really?
The internet didn't get invented on its own.
Really?
Government research created the internet.
Really? I thought that businesses created the tax base to build the roads, not have it funneled. And I guess Al Gore built the internet. I thought government went out and got science already developed and deployed it. Then people over decades purchased computers, set up their own servers, paid for the telecoms to build up. With our purchasing in the free market, I thought that's what built that market, just like organic foods was built by consumer choices. Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily, he has really openly shown himself for people that have studied Lenin, Stalin, Mao, all of them. I mean, this comes out of Hugo Chavez's mouth every day when they take somebody's business, even small ones, and nationalize it. For people that don't know, is that not pure Marxism that we're hearing there?
Yeah, that's classic collectivism. We all did it. We, you know, nobody could achieve anything independently. It's you know, we all did it. Everything that happened, we're all responsible for it. Anything good that happened, of course, anything that bad happens, that's usually blamed on you and me. But and people yeah. like us. But every good work that happens because of government. And, you know, that is classic Marxism, and you're hearing it from, you know, the guy sitting in the White House. I honestly never thought I would see this day in my life. But, you know, getting back to what we were talking about in terms of where we are now, you know, I was talking about 2008. My position was don't vote for either one of these guys, McCain or Obama, because the likely outcome, I admitted back then, would be an Obama victory. In fact, I didn't think there was any way McCain was going to beat Obama no matter what. He ran the most idiotic campaign. He wasn't a defender of the Constitution. What reason was there to vote for the guy affirmatively? He was responsible for, you know, some dreadful legislation, the whole political contributions business and whatnot. My position was none of the above. And I predicted that Obama was going to win. And what would happen is people would, you know, it's almost like every generation has to learn a lesson over again about socialism. And I thought, okay, we're going to have to experience some pain here for people to wake up. And predictably, it happened. That was the Tea Party movement, you know? And people were out there by the millions protesting. And I thought, man, I'm really good, you know? I figured this out. But something's happened, Alex, since 2010. It's like they all went back to sleep again because they think they elected some Republicans to take over the House, who turn out to be not much different at the end of the day than the Congress that was there before, because the Republicans are giving Obama all the money he needs, letting him borrow all the money he needs to continue these insane collectivist programs and even create some new ones, like Obamacare. And so today, I think we're in a different place. Like I said in the last time we visited, I think right now we're fighting for our very survival. I mean, it's not just our freedom we're fighting for. People like you and me, we are going to be facing extinction. And I don't say that lightly.
I've never heard you talk like this, and this happened right at the end of the last interview, so we didn't have time to have you elaborate. We're about to go to break, but Joseph Farah, start over when we come back from break, explaining exactly what you mean by this, because I don't want you to be cut short here. Because, folks, if you haven't been audited, or you haven't been physically attacked, or you haven't been death threatened, where they are listening to your phones and tell you they're listening to your phones, and tell you what you were just saying, so you know they're listening to your phones. We have the NSA openly announcing that it is listening and watching us in live time. It's totally illegal. We do have these armored pill boxes, 400 plus million rounds of ammo being bought, army re-education camps being set up, gun confiscation plans in declassified army documents. I mean, this is real. And there are a lot of scenarios where the people in charge right now may decide to go all the way. So I'm going to get Joseph Farah's take on that straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones. Our guest is Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily. There aren't many big alternative media outlets. There's DrudgeReport.com, WorldNetDaily.com, InfoWars.com, and PrisonPlanet.com, Newsmax to a certain extent. And there are a lot of other great sites. It's just they're not huge. And we are huge. And so we have the White House responding to us, attacking us. If you look at WorldNet Daily, 1 week before the book, Where's the Birth Certificate, came out, they had said there was no long form, that the receipt was it. Then they released the new one that was totally fake, been proven fake. I'm going to get into that new news that WorldNet Daily's been right on top of with Joe Arpaio and all the new demonization over that subject. But 1 week before, they come out and release the birth certificate directly aiming it at WorldNet Daily. Folks, if I was really born in the United States or I was who I said I was, I wouldn't even respond or care. Or I would have released it 4 years ago. Now we know why they haven't. It's because it's he officially put out through his own publicist for 16 years that he was born in Kenya. His wife said it. That was a cover story. They're hiding who the dad was. So I guess he can say with a straight face, it's Hawaii. The point is, we knew a cover-up was there. The records are sealed. But we're going to get to that in a moment with Joseph Farah. My point here is they countered him. They had Esquire come out and say the book had been recalled and that they'd apologized and were giving full refunds for retail costs that would have bankrupted them, not just for the cost of the book, but what the store was going to sell it for. They acted like they were scared, and they responded. Then they released the Bin Laden fable a week after that. I mean, they were acting like this was the end of their political careers. And so, Joseph Farah, you've never really talked like this, because I've been following you since 1996, so 16 years ago. I've never heard you talk about we're going to be hunted down if they get back in. What spectrum of data do you come to that hypothesis with? Because, I mean, I respect your vision and understanding of things, watching it so long, even before WorldNet Daily, running large papers around the country and running the Western Journalism Center. What are you getting at here? What are you expecting? You have the floor. Repeat what you were saying earlier.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, I got a little experience. We lived through the Clinton years, and that was, you know, when WND was just first getting started, and we saw how they came after us. And it was pretty, you know, pretty brutal, pretty ruthless, pretty obvious with the IRS attacks and so forth. Then, you know, we went through 8 years of Bush. Well, you know, we were extremely critical of Bush. I never got invited to the White House, you know, even though, you know, well, let's just say we were extremely critical. But, you know, there were no consequences to us. We weren't audited. We weren't attacked. I didn't think anybody was necessarily, you know, tapping my phone any more than everybody's phone is tapped these days. Then we enter the Obama years. And once again, I mean, we've experienced the attacks brutally, even beyond anything we knew during the Clinton years. So I know these people play for keeps. Now, more specifically, in answer to your question, I want to tell you about a book that we have prepared. It's coming out on August 7th. It's going to be huge. We have 50,000 copies pre-sold, and there's nothing Obama can do about it this time. It's called Fool Me Twice, and the subtitle is Obama's Shocking Plans for the Next 4 Years Exposed. And it's written by Aaron Klein, one of our reporters. He previously wrote Manchurian President, which was a New York Times bestseller. And this lays out exactly what these folks will do with their own words. In other words, you know, that's what investigative reporters do. They go, they seek out the documents from the committees and the organizations that are actually setting the policy for the Obama administration. Groups like, by the way, the Center for American Progress that went after you and me this week, that's one of them. You know, John Podesta's group. These are the policymakers for the Obama administration. These are not just cheerleaders for them. These are just not people who defend what they do. They actually set the policy. These are the brains of the operation. And so
it's worse than I was saying that these are front groups funded. You're right. These are actually the people running the Obama administration. These are the actual bosses.
You could say that. Absolutely. In fact, you know, I'll bet you if you could watch and see who's entering the White House on a daily basis, you'd see John Podesta's name on there probably more than
anybody
else.
He was the transition head, and they admit millions from George Soros. They admit they have weekly meetings there with the George Soros funding both groups, but also Media Matters. And so what does it mean that front and center InfoWars.com and WorldNetDaily.com are who they're going after on almost a daily basis?
It means we're hitting the mark. We're on target here. And we got them worried. Now, of course, what they do is they try to go after us. They try to do an end run. They try to intimidate Matt Drudge from ever, you know, linking to any stories on your site or my site. My feeling about that is, you know, Matt Drudge is an independent guy who has a great sense of news judgment. He's going to do what he does and what has made him so successful, regardless of anything they say or do. But that's the intent. The intent is to intimidate, to, you know, they know they, there's nothing they can do directly to Alex Jones or Joseph Era other than, you know, killing them. To get us to stop doing.
Well, that's right. They know we're not going to stop, and so they're with shots in the dark. They're going after you know to them the unknown Matt Drudge. But I know you know him well. It just shows what thugs they are. And they say Drudge is doing this dirty stuff. We've discovered it as if it's not in public. You know, on the biggest site in the world. Let's have the media go after him. Oh, my gosh, throw us in the briar patch. Oh, my gosh, have the Washington Post call me up yesterday about it to write a big article about Drudge. I mean, as if that's going to hurt Drudge or anybody else. Plus, I've got syndicated talk radio, you know, dominating YouTube, dominating podcasting. I mean, I've got all these different tentacles, as they would see it. I would see it as legs. It's not like they're going to stop us just doing that. And it shows how pathetic they are. Tens of millions a year to run it. And they can't even get any traffic to their sites. They're a joke. It's the White House's attempt to have a fake media site. I mean, they're a joke.
Well, but they literally have, well, see, they understand what they have to do to get people to listen to them is they have to put a gun to their head. You and I, we don't put a gun to anybody's head to listen to us or to come to our website. And
that's what the new media takeover alerts are about, is where they force you to see it. But, I mean, getting back to this, so we're front and center on their radar screen because we're covering their takeover, their police state, their world government, how they're actually funded by crony groups to shut down their competition. They're very upset about us exposing them, shutting down power plants. They're very upset. So you were continuing why you think we're in so much trouble if they get reelected.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of it comes from the unbelievable, you know, startling expose that I have already read in this book, Fool Me Twice. It's going to be really, really bad. If Obama gets elected, I think it's an irreversible situation for America. I think we'll be on beyond the point of no return. It's not going to be, you know, we'll have to go and start a new country, basically, or we'll have to find some states to secede, and there'll be bloodshed.
Even Peter Schiff said it may take revolution yesterday on CNBC. I mean, that's radical for him. I think people realize this is a desperate situation. So break down some of what you found in the think tanks running Obama, what they're planning.
Okay. Well, if you think, you know, Obama's stroke of the pen on his, you know, making illegal aliens legal was the end of it. Coming in the second term is an expansive, I'm quoting now, an expansive de facto amnesty program for illegal aliens via executive order and interagency directives linked with a reduction in the capabilities of the U.S. Border Patrol and plans to bring in untold numbers of new immigrants with the removal of caps on H-1B visas and green cards. They want to transform America fundamentally. Obama told us this in 2008, but they're actually going to do it if they get another chance in beginning in 2013.
And by the way, you've been saying this in this new book, because I was reading about it, for 3 months or something. They're already doing what is in the book that isn't even out yet.
That's right.
Legalizing the illegals, shutting down Border Patrol stations.
Yeah, they're doing it incrementally right now. They're taking baby steps. But given 4 more years, and it's a, by the way, it doesn't matter who's in the Congress because, you know, what Obama has shown over and over again, he's willing to misuse his executive power. You know, he has nothing but contempt for the Constitution. And I don't think, you know, what I see is weak-kneed opposition right now from the Republicans who control the House. And even if they control the House and the Senate, if Obama's the president, it's end game for us.
When you say hunted down like dogs, elaborate on that.
Well, what I'm saying there is I think that we will not be, you know, you've established an amazing platform, and I've done okay in that department over the years. I do not believe those platforms will be allowed to survive in what is coming, which is, you know, basically a totalitarian police state. And it could be worse than that. I mean, you know, and quite honestly, if I were you, you know, I'd take out a big life insurance policy if Obama gets reelected. I know I will. I'm being, you know, about as blunt as I can be. I think we have to do whatever we can to prevent that eventuality. And if that means voting this time, I hate to say it. I really hate to say it. It's against my nature to say it.
You didn't say that 4 years ago.
I didn't say it. But I'll tell you something. I'm going to go to the polls this year, and I'm going to vote for a guy I really don't respect, really don't like. Don't think he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Don't believe he's going to be the answer to our problems. But I'm going to do that in self-defense.
Well, maybe that's what Rand Paul was told whenever he went ahead and saddled up next to Romney, because I've talked to a lot of bigwigs, and they say, look, you don't get it. Obama is Chicago communist mafia. They plan a bloody takeover.
Yep.
And Mitt Romney's banker run, corrupt everything. But
he's not going to kill you.
He's not going to kill you, but what's the term? He's a country club Republican, so they don't do it mafia style.
Yeah, I mean, ask yourself this simple question. Will you, there's a guy who's running, and he's going to kill you. There's a guy who's running who's not going to kill you. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit it out? I just can't see that. I can't see doing that. I'm not saying, you know, go out there and work enthusiastically for Mitt Romney and he's going to solve your problems. He's not.
Well, the argument I've heard from people in Washington is that you can influence Romney if you actually try to get in there, and that's what Rand Paul's trying to do. What do you think of that strategy?
Well, I think he's right, and I'd like to see Rand Paul be on the vice presidential ticket with Romney, because he'd be a great influence. I think he's one of the shining lights we have in the Senate right now. And so I'd listen very carefully to what he's saying. I think he knows a lot of what we're talking about.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. And I remember Clinton killing those hundreds of people, all those hundreds of people dying. And I know that they're gearing up for total takeover. I mean, look at Homeland Security, look at the military, look at the executive orders, look at the preparations for gun confiscation. I mean, that's in the latest Army training manuals, Joseph. I mean,
look, the Obama administration did the same thing already, too. They killed hundreds of people. That's what Fast and Furious was. It wasn't just two law enforcement officers in the U.S. who got killed. It's untold numbers of Mexican citizens and peasants and probably other U.S.
I think they estimate 2,400 in Mexico and over 200 here.
Yeah. I mean, that's a slaughter. And that was an intentional policy decision that they made. And they got caught. And yet there's no, so far anyway, I'm just stunned that there are no repercussions for this. We have no calls for impeachment. Nobody's been indicted. Nobody's been charged. Holder's still sitting there as the Attorney General of the United States. You know, so.
And, you know, he was involved in Oklahoma City. Just to be clear here, Joseph Farah, you're saying following the past patterns with this type of mafia, they're going to feel like they're invincible with the pardons and the rest of it in the second term, and that's when they're going to let their hair down.
They will be invincible. I have no confidence that a Republican Congress is going to keep them in check. That's the obvious thing that we should learn from our experience. When I wrote None of the Above, it was for the reason that, look, you know, essentially you don't have a clear choice here. A lot of people think, well, you know, if we have a Republican Congress, they're going to keep Obama in check. De facto, we have a Republican Congress right now. They haven't done diddly squat to stop Obama, and they have the power.
Why is that? How can they have the Secretary of Defense march in with the generals and say, we're under NATO command, we don't go to Congress to go to war? I mean, that's high treason right there. How have we gotten to this point? What happened to Congress? Are they being blackmailed?
Yeah, well, that's happened incrementally on both Democrat and Republican watches over decades. You know, Vietnam was a perfect example, right? Did we ever declare war in Vietnam? One of the bloodiest wars we've ever fought. One of the longest wars we've ever fought. Didn't happen. When you ignore the Constitution, even in a small way, suddenly, you know, you start taking more advantage of the Constitution. And that's what we've been doing for decades and decades now. And it's to the point now, nobody even cares whether the President of the United States is constitutionally eligible to be there. Nobody cares.
Well, undoubtedly, they are doing everything they can to shut this country down. Every policy they have is to shut down American businesses. Joseph, why is that? Just to make us dependent? I mean, I guess they've got to bring us down before they remake us in their collectivist image.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. When Lenin took power, his job was not to, you know, create jobs for people. Far from it. It was to total control. Make the population dependent on government. The government is a matter of life and death with you. They decide whether you're going to eat or you're not going to eat, whether you get a bullet in the head or you don't get a bullet in the head. And that is, we're getting very close to that situation in America today. That's what I'm saying.
And people don't realize historically that once you get to this point, it's only a degree from where you go where we're at now, where they're lined up on our borders, the tyrants are, politically, to you move one degree and you're suddenly in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of the cowardly population is going to just get behind all this because they're going to want their freebies. And then that's why they've doubled the number of people on welfare in the last 4 years. We are in so much trouble. We'll talk about drones when we come back and the latest Arpaio news. Okay, we are going to have in studio my good friend Bob Dacey, an expert on UN gun grabs and the UN treaty. He's going to be in studio with us coming up in the next hour. Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily is our guest for this little short segment and the next segment. Don't forget the George Soros White House run group openly says they want our funding cut off at Infowars.com. They see Drudge as our only source of funding, which is pure foolishness. It's mainly subscriptions to Prison Planet .tv and radio sponsors, and also people buying books, videos, the high-quality water filters we have at InfoWarsShop.com. And when you also go to WorldNet Daily and buy their books and stuff, that supports them. You need to vote with your dollars. We don't come and point guns at you and make you give us money and then give it to George Soros and banker bailouts, and then he gives it to all of his front groups run by White House operatives. We're here just saying, if you believe what we're doing, spread the word about the broadcast, buy the books, buy the videos, things like that, or we won't be here in the future. And, of course, that's their hope. So it's a fight, ladies and gentlemen. You vote with your dollars. Don't forget it. We're asking you to go to InfoWars and buy the high-quality products. Really good stuff there. It's what I use. It's what I watch. It's what I wear. It's all there. InfoWarsShop.com. The Pro Pure Water Filters, all of it. PrisonPlanet.tv, 15-day free trial, $5.95 a month. It's cheap, the cost of two cups of coffee. That funds my entire TV division we're building. Going back to Joseph Farah, quick question here. We're going to go to break and come back briefly with the big news of Joe Arpaio that you guys were instrumental on covering and being part of with Dr. Corsi. The drone. I mean, you live out in a rural area. Drone flies by. You talk about it. And all these groups attack you saying there's no drones. But then I've got Fox Nation reporting drones will dominate the skies in 2.5 years. Representative says at hearing, and all these videos are coming in on YouTube. Drones are all over the place, Joseph Farah.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you I've had another sighting, Alex, but it's not the case. Although I will tell you that every time I go to walk my dog now, I got my iPhone in my pocket and I'm thinking maybe I should carry a shotgun, but usually it's just a handgun.
Well, especially, like you said, if they try to send one of those Obamanoid hit squads. You know, what about the killings under Clinton where they would shoot the person 5 or 6 times, cut their arms and legs off, and Fami Malek would declare it a suicide?
Yes, there was an epidemic of that kind of thing. during those years. I mean, Ron Brown, who was, supposedly killed in a plane crash, but had a bullet hole through the top of his head, and, Vincent Foster, and all of those things. I mean, we got to decide if this is the kind of world we want to live in, continue to live in, or not. And I think we're running out of time, Alex. And like I said, it's not this presidential election that's going to make things right. This presidential election, to me, is only an opportunity to buy us more time to make things right.
It's like if you're being chased by 20 bloodthirsty wolves through the house and you kind of throw down a bookcase that's there in the hallway in front of them. That's kind of what you see Romney as.
Well, it's not like that. That's almost a perfect analogy.
But listen, why is Romney laying down then? I mean, he Obama calls him a crook when Obama is involved in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to defend Romney in any way, shape, or form. I wish he'd be more aggressive. I wish he'd see the same things we're seeing and would tell the American people. But that's probably not going to happen. So it's going to be up to you and me to remind people throughout this campaign what this choice is all about.
I mean, when you've even got Rupert Murdoch telling Mitt Romney to get tough, you know things are in trouble. It might be a Don King match.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Only got 5 minutes left with Joseph Farrell, WorldNet Daily, and then we're going to have an in-studio interview. By the way, is Bob Dacey here yet? He's here. Very excited about that coming up in the next segment. Real fast, Joseph, I meant to get into this with you. Look, Amiral Awlaki, number three in Al-Qaeda, secretly dining at the Pentagon with the Secretary of the Army 2 weeks after 9/11. On and on and on. Obama has the State Department get the underwear bomber on the plane. That came out on C-SPAN after our eyewitnesses, Kurt Haskell, saw it. Using Al-Qaeda to take over Libya. Now Syria. Again, I know a lot about the Middle East. You cover it quite a bit. What is going on here? I mean, all I know is every time I turn around, the, quote, Muslim extremists are being funded by the CIA.
And that definitely concerns me. Because, this may be the only point of departure we have between us in terms of disagreement. I actually think we are facing a real threat from, Islamic extremism. I believe there's an effort underway to recreate the caliphate that existed up until, the end of World War One. But this time it's going to be very...
Sure, I know there's groups, the Muslim Brotherhood, doing that. My point is our government is putting them in charge in Egypt, you name it.
They think they can control them. They think they can, because they can't. These are not people who can be. They want to control us, and that's what it's all about. And believe me, you don't know what tyranny is like until you live in an Islamic republic. It doesn't get any worse than that. It doesn't get any worse than that in Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union. These are folks who have no regard for women. It's just...
But specifically, we were talking during the break, what about Homeland Security? My point is they're using that threat, whether real, exaggerated, or whatever, to take our rights, and the whole thing's pointed at us.
That's right. And on that point, we totally agree. That was a terrible, terrible thing that happened during the Bush administration. Maybe the single worst thing that George W. Bush did was create that monstrosity because it doesn't do anything to protect us from that threat that I see that maybe you don't think is as real as I do. But instead, what it does is it goes after people like you and me. Each and every time, every memo that comes out, they're all the same. People like you and me. Returning military veterans are the threat, not terrorists.
Sure. So that's my point is I don't want to hear about all day about the Muslims are going to get me when the whole thing is to take over and destroy the republic. And then you see that continuity between Bush, Obama. There's a larger globalist plan, and they use different groups to implement it, but they're just little government management teams. Briefly, what do you think of Arpaio's announcement saying, yes, this is a fake birth certificate? I mean, we already knew that, but it is newsworthy.
Look, I thought it was very powerful, and beyond the additional evidence that they raised with the birth certificate itself, which was, by the way, shocking to me, the fact that, you know, the numeric thing where fields should have been blank that weren't blank, that was pretty shocking stuff. But the bigger question that I think Arpaio raised is the national security issues with Hawaii. What they found out about Hawaii is basically a factory for producing fraudulent birth certificates and handing out citizenship to people who don't warrant it. And, you know, you would think that those Republican congressmen who say they care about things like this, if they're afraid of the birther issue, they would at least take a look at Hawaii's policies, which are in direct violation of federal regulations, and do something about that. But, of course, I'm not holding my breath.
Wow. Another amazing interview with Joseph Farah, one of many to come, I hope, if society doesn't crumble around us. A very interesting point you've raised today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Good to be with you, Alex.
All right. Thank you. Good to be with you. Let me say bye to you right here at the break. We're going to bring Bob Dacey in here and get deep into the UN history of disarmament. This is about enslaving people. What the communists and authoritarians and fascists always do, we're going to break down the UN gun grab.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, and in studio is my longtime friend. I've had to know him like 13, 14 years. He's even a sponsor on the radio show a long time ago with his gun shop and hardware store. He's one of those evil entrepreneurs. And if you go to the front page of Infowars.com, you can see Obama talking to a child about evil entrepreneurs. It's a very special image at Infowars.com for radio listeners. It is a child, or it's a real photo, building blocks. And he says, you didn't build that. No, North Korean leader Kim Jong-il did, because we all know government-run systems create such wondrous things in every case in history. We're just supposed to ignore the nightmares that they quickly generate. Now, Bob Dacey is a writer for The New American Magazine, and he also hosts a radio show, TV show, you name it, throughout the years. But he's also a concealed carry teacher and has a gun shop and a successful family-owned evil hardware store in North Austin. In fact, many years ago when I first got on the air, like 16, 17 years ago, he had a hardware store about 500 yards away and was one of our first sponsors. And here he is with us because, you know, you learn so much over the years, but then you create files, documents, films, and then you try to go back and get it all together again. There's so many Obama quotes, Sarah Brady quotes, Eric Holder quotes about we're going to ban your guns, we're going to get them. The cities they get control of, New York, Chicago, total gun bans. They want to ban our guns. I mean, Sarah Brady said on the floor of the House, before we can have a socialist America, we must ban all civilian ownership of guns. Unideer, September 7th, July 7th, 2001, said civilian ownership of firearms threatens the legitimate power monopoly of the state. We want the total abolition. State Department Memorandum 7277, which is still U.S. policy, says total global disarmament except for the U.N. You imagine how hellish that is, so they can love us all. And look, Bob has a copy of 7277 here. I mean, actual. I even have one of the blue booklets around here somewhere, but he has a photocopy of one. We're going to show you these exhibits if you're watching at prisonplanet.tv. We're fighting the prison planet at prisonplanet.tv. It's 15 cents a day. We've got a 15-day free trial going, but it's not even about you joining. Later, we post the next day, you know, the YouTubes for everybody at InfoWars. You can just follow along with us. If you're an XM listener or listening on the over 100 stations out there, just know that by tomorrow, we'll have this video of this live show posted for you if you're not watching it live at prisonplanet.tv. We don't make you support us like George Soros that gets banker bailout money and then funds fake media watchdog groups calling for us to be shut down, run by the White House. But we're here fighting their tyranny, and they don't like it. So I'm going to try now to just sit back and have Bob go over gun control, go over the fact that this UN treaty just as the Law of the Sea. This is the Hill newspaper, the big congressional newspaper. Vice Admiral Robert R. Monroe says it will hand over our sovereignty to a global government. Ratification of Law of the Sea advances world government. World government is real, okay? And who runs it? The bankers. Paul Watson has a key article out today that is so important. Bankers declare U.S. and Europe conquered. And it's actually them saying it on video. Okay, I mean, this is now they've conquered the central government, not us yet. Homeland Security, Agenda 21, that is the implementation through Homeland Security, the rewrite, the overwrite of our once free republic. So we've been warning you all these years. It's getting closer and closer. Now we're in it. I've never heard Joe Farah talk like that. Joseph Farah earlier saying, you know, they're going to probably come kill us if Obama gets reelected and that Romney's horrible, but, you know, he probably won't kill us. I mean, that's what people in the know are saying. I mean, the military has declassified re-education camps and gun confiscation. That video is posted on our YouTube channel. It's gone totally viral with all the proof of that. This is real, okay? It happened everywhere else, so understand. It's kind of like you never believe you're going to get injured or have that car wreck. And you look, somebody runs a red light, they T-bone you, you're in the hospital. You know, this stuff really happens. Most countries throughout history have fallen to tyranny. Most countries have fallen to tyranny. It happens. Now, the question is, how bad will the tyranny be? The globalists are eugenicists. They believe in getting rid of population. So it's not just like they're ruthless and don't mind killing people. Killing people is the aim. The famous statement of, hey, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet in the Ukraine when they're killing 10 million. And the journalist says, I don't see an omelet. Well, it's because it's about breaking eggs. So Bob Dacey, again, a national writer who researches gun issues, is here. And he's going to break down now the real documents, what the treaty really does, and what the UN framers of this interpreted as. Because they write it vague for the general public. But then you've got the heads of these agencies saying exactly what this means. So here's the proof of what the UN's planning with your guns. And don't believe that it's beaten. It's a good chance it's going to pass the Senate. Just like NDAA they said wouldn't pass, it did. Or Obamacare wouldn't pass. They do that to kill opposition. Bob Dacey in studio. Break it down for us.
Alex, thank you for having me back on. I haven't been here in a few years, and things have changed around here. And I'm very impressed with what Obama has built here for you. I am so impressed. I really am. It's bigger. It's more modern. It's got more neat stuff in it.
Obama built it.
I know he did. And I you know, when he told me I didn't build my business too, I was shocked. 34 years ago, I started doing things. I actually made my own first sign from a hardware store out of plywood and red paint.
You make screens, doors. You actually make things.
We manufacture window screens, you know. But I always thought that I was doing that. The screening table you just brought up, by the way, I could have swore I built it from scratch. I could have swore I did that. But apparently...
No, I just moved that microphone closer to you, but I didn't. Obama did that.
Well, apparently I had a lot of help because...
No, Obama just... I reached over and moved that over, that was the government.
Well, which is...
Kim Jong-il, because government's God, he gave me power to do it.
It's a great segue into Obama, because before I talk about all this gun control stuff, I want to thank President Obama, Barack Hussein Barack the Quack Obama. I would like to thank him for being the best gun salesman to come down the pike since Bill Clinton. Thank you very much. I have a small guns department in my store. Barack is the driver of gun sales in the United States of America today. And so we want to thank him for that little increase in business there, because I don't think anybody could have done it as well as he has done it.
Good. You better learn to thank him.
Yeah, well, because, you know.
And like North Korea, don't fold a newspaper that's got his image on it, or that's death and your whole family goes to a re-education camp.
Well, look, I'm glad you asked me on, because, you know, I think you asked me on probably because you remembered that document I gave you back in 2001 from UNIDIR. That's the United Nations Institute for Disarmament Research. What I want to say here is that anyone that's new to this debate as to whether or not the UN is serious about sticking anti-Second Amendment stuff in that treaty, all you got to do is get a historical perspective of what's going on. And it's very easy to do. All you got to do is go to the UN website like I did back 14 years ago and just look around. You will find more anti-freedom, more anti-Second Amendment, more anti-United States, more anti-Constitution, more anti-Bill of Rights stuff there than you can possibly shake a stick at. I just lucked into finding one time, and I gave it to you, and that document was called Removing Military Weapons from Civilian Hands, and it was written by Christoph Karl and Patricia Lewis in August of 2000, UNIDIR, United Nations Institute for Disarmament Research. And they define the problem, and they talk about the problem is weapons, small arms. And they say that they're, you know, they're killing and maiming everybody throughout the world all by themselves. Apparently they just do things all by themselves.
And this was at a big UN treaty where they were trying to ratify it before in July of 2001.
And the key sentence in this thing, which is the one that screams, which is the one that you've been using for over a decade, is this sentence. Such weapons distort societies, make it increasingly difficult for a society to rebuild itself following a period of bloody conflict. But this is what it says right here. Such weapons make it harder for the state to regain the legitimate monopoly of force. Now, if any of you people are Americans and have grown up in this country and were taught things like subversive literature like the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, things like that, that statement is it right there. The United Nations, their whole mantra, everything they're about is 180 degrees opposite to what we here in the United States hold dear.
And they took the guns from one tribe in Rwanda and sat back and helped kill the other tribe because they were the landowners. I mean, the UN's murdering people themselves all over the world.
The Second Amendment, of course, we always say it's the teeth of the Constitution. It's the teeth of the Bill of Rights. If you don't have that, the rest of it is just, you know, toilet paper if you can't defend yourself. But the deal is, if the United Nations believes that government monopoly of force is a good thing, that is exact 180 degrees opposite of what we believe. That, you know, what did Thomas Jefferson say? When the people have the power, the government fears the people, that's good. You have liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And when the government's got everything and the people fear the government, you have tyranny. Where in the world would any American glom onto the idea or agree with the idea that government monopoly of force is a good thing?
Well, where would Americans think that you didn't build your business, the government did? I mean, this is how out of control these people are.
Well, later on in this document, they take a swipe at the NRA. Now, the NRA, of course, you know, in my world, is kind of weak and wimpy relative to, say, Gun Owners of America. But, okay, the NRA has been doing a pretty good job on this, except for the fact that they're an NGO at the UN. But they talk about all these things they want to do to pick up all these guns. This is about picking up not just military guns, but anything that's semi-automatic. Got that? They define semi-automatic as a military weapon.
And that's why even Forbes says it's register and ban semi-autos. That's what the treaty does.
But they're talking about all these different ways of doing this, which is to take up civilian weapons worldwide. And they talk about brokering, ammunition control. They specifically mention 7.62 and 5.56 millimeter, which are some of the most popular military rounds. But then they talk about the civil society campaign. And this is what they say is right here.
Well, stay there. We're going to keep getting into the actual documents, and you found a new document as well.
Yes, I got
it. And we have a copy of the United Nations Program for General Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. U.S. government policy is try to ban our guns.
Come, you masters of war.
Yeah, the United Nations masquerades as masters of peace, but they're really masters of war. Look at what they do all over the world. It's a consortium for the globalists, for the megabanks, who have established their world government and are now trying to mop up what sovereignty is left. Key article by Paul Watson, bankers declare U.S. and Europe conquered. It's red-linked. In the featured news section, ATF boss threatens whistleblowers. That's a new article breaking. InfoWarriors wage war on Obama. Key video compilation. Woman pulls gun to prevent smart meter installation. That's at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Security privacy experts testify to Congress on spy drones. Virginia lawmakers look to strictly regulate spy drones. That's good news. Judge rules man who stripped nude to protest TSA not guilty. TSA signs off on flight school owned by illegal alien with illegal aliens taking courses. but your five-year-old has to be abused by them. And again, bankers declare U.S. and Europe conquered. Okay, Bob, this is a short segment, long segment coming up. Again, you're reading from Exhibit 1, July 2001 at the U.N. as they're debating, formulating the treaty. Please continue.
Okay, so what we're talking about is how they want to disarm you. They want to take your guns away from you. The historical context is what I'm talking about. The historical context. It's not like something new. They do it all the time. That's their thing. Now
they've done it in countless countries. They take all the guns and then they line you up and kill you.
That's what totalitarian control freaks do. I mean, don't be brain dead. All right. They talk about the advantages of being able to take all the military style weapons away from civilians worldwide. If a concerted campaign were to be formed to remove such weapons from civilian hands, this would have a number of distinct advantages. And one of the advantages is it would be hard for the anti-control lobby to argue against such an initiative. After all, who could easily justify the right for civilians to bear arms built for military purposes and thus argue taking automatic and semi-automatic weapons off the streets of cities and out of schools? All right there. Who could argue the right of civilians to bear arms? Let me think. The Founding Fathers?
Now they're saying it's you have a right to not be in danger from them.
What?
Just like Chicago and New York, where only the criminals have guns and you're in hell.
So, and again, the point, military purposes, well, that's what the Second Amendment is all about, isn't it?
Remember that's the ATF last year was going to ban bottom-loading shotguns, which is over 60% of them, and said because they're non-sporting, shotguns ain't for sporting.
No, they have nothing to do with sporting. I remember Susanna Hupp was testifying before a congressional committee many years ago, and Chucky Schumer, my favorite New York senator who was a congressman back then, had smoke coming out of his ears when she was talking, and she said, "I got news for you. The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. It's about people like us being able to protect ourselves from people like you." And old Chucky, oh man, you could see the smoke coming out of it.
It's fundamental. The tyrants want to disarm people.
Yeah, and the UN is tyrants. And I want to talk about the big picture. You can't take the Second Amendment and...
You just read, we're at the big meeting, they're saying nobody should be able to have guns. Who could argue that? Who could imagine? Like, who could imagine you built your business?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that crazy. Who can imagine you don't love North Korea?
But what I want to talk about, Alex, is legitimacy. Where, you know, for example, I have a problem with the NRA in that they are an NGO, non-governmental organization at the UN, because they are participating in UN stuff. And I know that they're getting dirt from the UN and putting it out and showing people. But, you know, my grandfather used to say, I will tone down what he said, but he said, if you play with stuff, you get some on you. And that's true. But I don't understand exactly why they do what they do, being an NGO at the UN. I have a little problem with that. But the historical perspective that I'm talking about is where does the UN get this legitimacy?
Like George Soros and the White House fund these watchdogs who lie and say they're not George Soros funded and get caught, and then they sit there posing and saying what's real and what isn't. I mean, we go, oh, you say you know that the sky is red, it must be because you said so.
What gives the UN its legitimacy? What is the UN? Okay, the UN was founded back in 45
by the Rockefellers.
And the guy running the whole thing was Alger Hiss.
Communist.
A communist, an Eastern Establishment member of the Council on Foreign Relations. I think there was 30 or 40 Council on Foreign Relations members involved in that initial conference in San Francisco. Alger Hiss personally flew the treaty to the president to sign it. And then, of course, he was later arrested for working for Joseph Stalin and given the Order of the Red Star for bravery behind enemy lines. But I digress. You know, but the thing is, UN is not legitimate. It is, I mean, how many of the governments at the UN would you say are legitimate governments that actually derive?
No, it's a complete and total fraud, but the banksters created it to transfer our liberties and freedoms into, to transfer our Constitution into, so they could claim it was legitimate and could override us. I want to get into the treaty.
What you're saying, though, is if you're a tin horn dick.
Stay there. We'll be right back.
I got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm a guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm working for the state. I'm the highway patrol. You know me when you see me, cause my door's painted white with my siren.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Bob Dacey, writer for the New American Magazine, good friend of mine for at least 14 years, is here in studio with us. Okay, we've been talking about the UN and how it was founded. You're welcome to get into all that, but let's race through. You've already covered one document. Let's get into 7277. Let's get into a new document you've discovered, because I'm going to have my great writers, you're welcome to do it too, write a whole article out of this. Just more proof that the UN wants you disarmed so they can take good care of you like they do all over the world, which means lining you up and blowing your heads off before they take your property. Bob Dacey, please continue.
Alex, my point about legitimacy is that the UN has no legitimacy. And so why do we spend so much time funding them and helping them along and all that? Obviously, the bankers control the whole thing. Fine, whatever. But I think it's lost in the shuffle that they aren't legitimate. They have no legitimacy at all. And the best solution is to defund them and get out. That's the best solution. Just kick them out. Because if we kicked them out, we take away all of that financial support, the whole thing would collapse. It's a house of cards.
No, it's a bunch of criminals.
Yeah, it's a bunch of criminals. It's a bunch of criminals. They go to New York. They go to Bloomingdale's. They get a $2,000 suit. They get themselves some kind of a fancy Cadillac with some flags on it.
Well, diplomatic immunity.
And they can violate all the traffic laws.
Everybody kisses their butt.
And all of a sudden, they're legitimate. Almost every government in the world is illegitimate because they do not have their power from the consent of the governed. Yet you have a whole bunch of them get together.
Well, that's another point. Obama says the government makes everything. Well, I mean, if it's a small government and helps guard rights and is empowered and actually has the consent and is popular, then occasionally it's not a bad thing. But when they're not, don't have the consent, they're always like bone cancer.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, if you have kids and there's a daycare center that they go to, would you want the president of the Child Molesters Association of America running the daycare center?
No.
You know, the point is, the UN is completely illegitimate. Now, having said that, let me go on. All right, that article that I was reading from a while ago was 2001. They do it all the time. They want to take your guns away. I found the new one. Improving the effectiveness of the Program of Action on Small Arms, Implementation Challenges and Opportunities, written by a Sarah Parker, UNIDIR, again, 2011. So I figured, you know, UNIDIR was a good place to find dirt on the UN, and sure enough, it's a great place to find dirt on the UN. This document wants to improve the effectiveness of their Program of Action on Small Arms. And guess what their Program of Action on Small Arms is? Get rid of them. Get them out of civilian control, as in the previous document.
And guys, document cam, zoom in, even though it's here, on me. So no, go ahead and read it.
Okay.
And then we'll flip it right side up in a minute. Just all right. On those documents, please.
All right. This is what we're talking about. Improving the effectiveness of the Program of Action on Small Arms, which is something they've been after all the time. You cannot have an armed population and enslave them, and they know this. The bankers know this. The UN knows it. Everybody knows it. So why don't you know it? All right. Now, what they talk about, this is not the whole document. I just printed off a few pages. They talk about all these different levels of doing things in order to control small arms. And I'll just read a couple of things. Marking and tracing. You ever heard of that? Yeah, marking and tracing. That's what they want to do. Micro stamping, whatever. They want to do it. They want to do that. Record keeping. What do you think record keeping
registration
means? What do you think record keeping means? Is that some little bookkeeper in the back room just jotting stuff down for no reason? No, record keeping. Disposal and destruction of confiscated, seized, or collected small arms.
Collected.
Moratoria on small arms.
That's why they have these legal gun buybacks, to create the image of cops and people turning guns in.
Yeah. Moratoria on small arms and light weapons manufacture.
Which is what Obama has said he's going to go after the manufacturers.
What is
Bloomberg doing? Suing them. That's the goal. Shut them down.
So they have a chart here of various different ways that they want to get their stuff done. It's called Description of Implementation Challenge Identified. Implementation challenge. Now, what is an implementation? That means you want to implement this. The challenge is they're having problems with it. Okay, so we have a description of implementation challenge identified. They have all different things listed. One of them is that the firearms protocol has not yet been ratified. Oh, really? One of them is greater regulation of, no, it says greater, no, it doesn't say greater, it says regulation of firearms ownership. Regulation of firearms ownership? What is that?
That's what's in the treaty.
Greater controls and responsibility.
This whole thing's written for individuals.
Yeah. Greater controls and responsibility for firearms owners is required. For firearms owners is required. All right? They have an inadequate legal framework they're complaining about. Keep on going. Record keeping. They have lack of funds for an electronic database. Oh, boo. They don't have enough money to have their electronic database.
So they need to ship guns into Mexico to call for it.
Here's another one. Need national electronic register or database. And they're talking about every nation here, you know. Going on down, the description of implementation of challenge identified. Need to train law enforcement providers in weapons collection, management, and destruction. I'm sorry, did I just read that from the Unitary website? Hang on just a second. Need to train law enforcement providers in weapons collection and destruction.
Need to train the local police in confiscating guns. Well, we have the Army document. They're training to take guns. It's public.
They have a problem here. They have lack of financial support for collection and destruction. So that's a challenge that they have to face at the UN. They don't have enough money, so they're probably going to use the loss treaty to tax everybody so they can fund this thing. I don't know. Training is needed in modern methods of destruction. So they need to train some more people on how to destroy the weapons after they collect them.
Of course, in Australia and England, they use a giant metal buzzsaw and just chop them up.
Now, here's the next one of the segments is called public awareness, otherwise known as propaganda. To reinforce ongoing awareness campaigns to prevent the illicit ownership, transfer, and use of firearms. So, in other words, to con you out of your guns, basically.
And not let you sell them to your neighbor,
like
which is banning the gun show loophole, doesn't let you give a gun to your grandson.
Like the previous document I was reading from was talking about, is get rid of these things, and we need a civil society campaign, because after all, who could argue against taking these guns away because it's for the children? I mean, it's just ongoing. Now, let me read this part. Instruction and education needed to overcome fear due to misleading information in context of civilian surrender of small arms and light weapons. Context of civilian surrender.
All over the world, they come and take all the guns and then murder everybody or have the next tribe do it. And wherever they're in control in countries, they totally ban guns. In New York and Chicago, where they're in control, have banned them. And we've got the attorney general saying he wants to ban them when he was deputy attorney general. But we're supposed to ignore all of that because they go on to say we've got to basically propagandize people that we're not going to take their guns.
Right. It's like the movie. Ack, ack, we're your friends. We're your friends.
Don't run. We are your friends.
Blam, blam. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same thing, all right? Now, here's another one. Mark, in the description of marking and tracing, lack of regional coordination of the system for the registration of legal weapons.
Yeah, that's, and again, Forbes did their analysis and said why all gun owners should be up in arms, and it says it registers and then it bans semi-auto and blocks importation to begin with, and this is not even a big issue in America right now because George Soros says it's not real. He said, so, you know, I mean, if a tornado's about to hit your town, just call Soros up and say there's no tornado. And he'll say, no tornado, and it'll just disappear.
Well, I hate to disagree.
No, George, I mean, because just like Kim Jong-il.
I hate to disagree with Mr. Soros, but right here under the section description.
No, he admits he wants to ban your guns, but it doesn't exist if you're resisting.
Record keeping, it says right here, there is the need to develop a regional system for registering legal weapons in each country. Oh. In each country, there is a need. Can you?
And the treaty just leaves it wide open for the UN to do whatever it wants.
And don't you think that if they got this, they would share information in the interest of global cooperation?
Well, no, they've said they want Mexico to be able to sue because the Fast and Furious sue America, not the people that shipped the guns down there to destabilize Mexico.
Yeah. Now we have another one. Regional security is a problem, an implementation challenge. I just highlighted this because it's funny. It says continued unchecked outflow of guns from North America.
No. They did Fast and Furious to not just blame the Second Amendment, but to make it an international issue to get the treaty ratified.
Yeah, it's all part of the same thing. These people do everything. You name any aspect of society, any aspect of human behavior, these people are on it in order to disarm you. Now, this is the kicker right here. You say, well, this is what UNIDIR wants to do, but what does this have to do with the treaty? What does it have to do with this arms trade treaty that they're talking about right now up in New York? What does it have to do with it? Well, how about this? One of the questions raised during the UNIDIR workshop was whether states would prioritize implementations of the POA, that's Program of Action, if it were a legally binding treaty as opposed to a political instrument. In this regard, developments with respect to a future arms trade treaty, ATT, arms trade treaty, were noted. Some of the POA commitments relating to international transfers of small arms and light weapons may be covered and enhanced by an arms trade treaty with the added bonus that they will be legally binding.
So you do an arms trade treaty that's really an individual arms control disarmament treaty, which is the United States program for general and complete disarmament in a peaceful world, even the armies and police disarmed after they go through this tumultuous takeover period, then it's only the UN that's armed.
Now, let me repeat that again, because that's the central reason why I'm on talking to you right now. This is UNIDIR, the United Nations Institute for Disarmament Research, one of their papers.
The policy board that writes the UN treaty.
And they're sitting there tagging this paper of theirs of all their problems that they're having getting all their little gun confiscations done, and they're tagging it to this future arms trade treaty, which is right now.
And they say the bonus is we'll sneak it through in an arms control treaty.
With the added bonus that they will be legally binding. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what more you need to understand that this arms trade treaty is just another Trojan horse.
Well, it's not even a Trojan horse, though. It's just that they count on no one reading it. So show that document, the document cam. Now, you got a whole stack. We only got like 10 minutes of broadcast time left here. 7277, tell us about that since it's right there.
All right, 7277. Here's my 7277, Freedom from War, was a State Department publication printed way back in the day, a kind of a cooperation between the United Nations and the United States State Department. State Department publication 7277.
Flip through it. Very loving.
And very, very briefly what this thing is.
This is the policy of the U.S. government.
And the point is, before I read through this, the point of this, if you think, if it says in here that the United States was agreeing in 1961 to disarm our own military. Do you understand that? To disarm our own military, to turn our nuclear arsenal over to the United Nations. It says that in here. Now, if you think that the UN is going to not mess with our Second Amendment, yet they're going to disarm our military, hey, you're in la-la land, buddy. Now, some of the stuff in this document, this thing is, you can find my son.
Show it, it's amazing. I've got a copy of the original one around here somewhere.
My son actually,
flip that back. I want to see the intro page.
Yeah, this is
second page. Show him the second page.
Second page?
Just start flipping through it, Bob.
Okay, there you go. Freedom from War. Okay, you're in the right spot now. Okay, Freedom from War. Of course, now I got to go sideways because it's printed this way. But this document, United States Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World, is 1961. The John Birch Society actually reproduced a bunch of these back in the day with the blue cover and everything.
That's the copy I got. Very evil.
One of my kids actually found an original at the university that he was attending many years ago, an original 1961, and it's a spitting image. They didn't make any changes.
Wasn't that Fort Sam Houston,
Sam Houston. Yeah. Sam Houston State University. So, yeah, it's real. And
oh, I remember when he was going there to become a state police. Remember they had that whole UN function?
Well, no,
and they were teaching folks that the communist Chinese were good?
No, what that was, you got an amazing memory, Alex. What it was that they had a display up in the foyer of their main criminal justice building that was displaying the communist Chinese flag and various Soviet and Chinese military police medallions in the showcase. It's like, what? And that's what that was all about. And I asked him to get some pictures of that, and he couldn't because they took it down. And I said, well, why'd they take it down? And he said, don't worry, Dad. It was Alumni Day. They took it all down. They didn't want the alumni seeing it, but they'll put it back up tomorrow. And sure enough, you know, and there you have all these, you know, they have these Soviet emblems for police, you know, the Cheka, which was a precursor to I think it was the NKVD or
no, continue. Go through the right. You got like 20 documents there. Keep going.
Summary: disarmament goal and objectives. This is 1961. The disbanding of all national armed forces and the prohibition of their reestablishment in any form whatsoever, other than those required to preserve internal order and for contributions to United Nations peace force.
And that's what NATO is now.
The elimination from national arsenals of all armaments, including weapons of mass destruction and the means for their delivery, other than those required for United Nations.
And there's the disarmament. The UN gets to have theirs.
They get the nukes. You understand? The UN gets the nukes. Now, if you think that this is our own government policy. This is 1961.
Keep going.
State Department stuff. I'm going to see if I can find some more stuff I might have highlighted here.
They've got our helmets getting smaller. The UN's getting bigger.
Yeah.
Shows the force buildup.
Yeah, and they want the Russian army to go down. Now, you were talking about back to the armament thing, because that's what we're talking about today. The manufacturer of armaments would be prohibited, except for those of agreed types and quantities to be used by the UN Peace Force, and all those required to maintain internal order. All other armaments would be destroyed.
Can you imagine a world with the UN with high-tech weapons? We're running around with sticks and stones.
You got a UN.
They've got Skynet.
A bunch of control freak, illegitimate crooks run by the bankers with all the guns and the nukes, and you got nothing. Hey.
The famous writer, H.G. Wells, wrote books in the 20s where they would have these big batwing fighters nuking everyone to reduce population. That's the final phase.
Well, the point is, again, I'm going historical.
These are crazy people.
I'm going.
Hurry, we're almost out of time. Race through all these other documents why they're going to ban our guns. Well, you have all these new ones. We just read 2011. Well,
I've got a bunch of other stuff here, but a lot of it has to do with this legitimacy thing I'm talking about. Look, Universal Declaration of Human Rights. If you want to understand the UN, go and get the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and read it. Because you know what's not in it? The right to keep and bear arms.
Well, it says at the end the UN can ignore all the rights. In fact, which article is it where they say you got all these rights unless we say so?
Well, that's Article 29, Section 3. Permit me to read it. I want you to understand, there is no right of self.
Hold on, we're going to break. This is the big official UN law, Declaration of Human Rights. Our government signed on to it. And it says at the end, you have no rights. You're a total slave. There's all these great rights if the UN, by the way, in North Korea, it's written the same way. You have all these great rights unless the gracious leader says. And it's the same way under the EU. All this great stuff, but unless we say so. See, it's called fine print. That fine print is not in the Bill of Rights or Constitution. These are criminal bankers that have taken over our country. Get the article in InfoWars out. It's the final segment with Bob Daschle. Listen, America isn't perfect, but it's been the best country the world's ever seen for liberty and freedom and incredible cornucopia of ideas. And it came from individuals. It came from rugged individualism. It came from freedom. And that's why they spend all day telling you how bad America is. And you know what? If I just knew about American history, I'd think we were bad. Then I studied world history. I looked at every other country. And let me tell you, we have been the best. We were the model of the world. Now, I just got chills, ladies and gentlemen. We have serious tyrants in control. Again, they're not just boss hogs that want to run things. They want to re-educate, to kill. We've shown you their own statements. They want our guns. And thank God for the founders, because 236 years ago, that Second Amendment is there. It actually came about a decade later with the Bill of Rights. But the point is, it was about guns. It started when the Redcoats came to confiscate guns. And here we are, 200 plus years later, with that time bomb against tyranny, 3, 4, 5 million guns a month getting sold, all-time record. And people know. There have been national surveys. They say, I don't trust this government. And you know why? You shouldn't. Because the average FBI person's not a bad person. The average cop's not bad. But the people running the government are enemies of this country. There's a red-linked article that everybody's got to get. We'll do 5 minutes overdrive so Bob can finish. It's red-linked. Bankers declare U.S. and Europe conquered. Guys, I want to have that put back as the top link on Featured News. That article is total proof of their criminal takeover in their own words. And of course, it's getting no attention, and stuff that I didn't think would has gone viral. There's no controlling what goes viral. Whatever I want to go viral doesn't go viral. Whatever. The point is, it must go out. Get it out to everyone. It is a confession by these criminals. Continuing, this is the official UN Global Declaration of Human Rights. It gives you all these wonderful rights, especially communism, rights to other people's money. You built your neighbor's business. You painted their oil painting. You made their song. You knit that dress. You had that baby, even though you didn't. All of this. But in the end, what do they tell you, Bob?
What they tell you in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Again, 1945, founding era document of the UN. This goes way back to their very founding. What they tell you is you got all these glorious rights. By the way, they don't mean any of it, by the way. But they tell you you've got all these glorious rights. And then at the very last, Article 29, Section 3, these rights and freedoms may in no case be exercised contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. So if you disagree with the United Nations, if you oppose anything they want to do, you have no right.
Their purposes. That means whatever the dictator in there, whatever the Security Council, Obama heading it, whatever they want, read it again.
They will do it to themselves, too, by the way. These rights and freedoms may in no case be exercised contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations.
The purposes. That's whatever they want.
And for example, this is off topic from guns, but for example, several years ago, there was a SARS conference in New York about the big disease. Remember SARS in Asia? And the United Nations press corps invited some doctor from Taiwan, which is like, oh, no, not Taiwan. Well, that's no good. Well, Kofi Annan kicked him out. He said, no, you can't come. And
because that would upset China.
And the press corps actually asked Kofi in a press conference, well, sir, what about Article 19 of the Universal Declaration, which says we can trade information freely.
And right to travel.
And travel and with regard to borders so we can all share information, sir. And Kofi looked at the reporter and said, you must understand our principles. And one of them is there is only one China. So what Kofi did, Kofi did, this is to his own press corps.
You're so good. Well, oh my God, it's true. That's word for word. He said that. And he implemented Article 29.
Exactly. Article 29, Section 3, overrode Article 19 because Article 19 says you only have freedom of the press if we like what you're doing.
Well, that's why they ban all these people from the UN events. Stay there. We'll do five more minutes. Folks, you ignore this information at your own peril. They want your guns, they want you to be their slaves. Go space trucking to get off this planet away from the UN, find some freedom. Up at Infowars.com, there's a photo of Obama you gotta see. Just, I'm gonna say that it's in the featured news area. You didn't build that. Just go look at it. There he is. You have got to go look at this photo at Infowars.com. It's also at PrisonPlanet.com. Bob Dacey, writer for the New American Magazine, good friend of mine, evil entrepreneur owner. If you go back to your hardware store today and build a screen, which I know you do all the time, Bob, you didn't build that.
No, I didn't build that.
Kim Jong-il did. You know, I mean, if they say government's milk and honey, I guess Kim Jong-il is the ultimate expression.
Well, I've been totally shaken by Obama's statements that I didn't have anything to do with the creation of my small business. That just blew me away. I have trouble sleeping and not worrying about that because I could have swore I did something. I don't know what it was. I did something, you know. 34 years ago, I've been doing this. I've been doing nothing for 30.
You got a pretty big hardware store, and I've been in there. There's like two or three people sometimes running it.
Well, there's, you know, it's America. You want to talk about America? It's true value. I mean, come on. You can't get any more American than that. It's like,
how many employees you got?
Oh, not enough. You know, six or eight, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not, you know.
You're evil. God, you're bad.
I'm an evil capitalist pig. Yes, I am. I am also an imperialist exploiter of the masses. Thank you. I'm proud of it. just like
okay, finish up because you didn't go research all these UN documents either.
No,
this doesn't exist. George Soros said so.
No, the point.
Are you proud the White House is now attacking me routinely?
I love it when they attack you, Alex. I mean, the bigger you get, the more they attack you, and then the bigger you get.
Hey. Anyways, I'm sorry. Finish up.
They ought to learn to leave you alone, but they won't, will they? No, the point of this thing is in context of firearms, anything, they want you disarmed. They want you to be a slave because they cannot take you over if you can defend yourself. There is no legitimacy to the UN. The solution is to get out of the UN, defund them. They will collapse of their own weight, and that cacophony of cockroaches will crawl off wherever they came from. It's, you know...
A cacophony...
Of cockroaches.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm using big...
No, a gaggle of scrofulous roaches engaging in a triumphant march over the edge of the abyss.
Yeah, they'll just go back where they came from. I mean, the point is, with the Universal Declaration, you got to read it. Because if you read it, you can read between the lines. Actually, Article 28, the one before 29, says that you're entitled to a new world order, by the way. So, where they can implement all
where they can line you up and blow your head off.
All these rights that you have, unless
you're... Because the UN Biological Diversity Assessment from 96, the full text says they're going to establish a neo-feudal system and turn the resources off and kill us.
I mean...
Man, that is really fun.
There is... You just... If you read this document, you're going to think it's funny because you're going to think, well, look, it's so smiley face. What it is, Alex, this is it. The United Nations is an excrement sandwich with white frosting on the outside and some blue stuff and some little wheat stalks and stuff. It looks real, real good. It's all pretty. It's all light blue and all fluffy and everything. But don't take a bite. That's it right there. Don't take a bite because that's all it is.
Jan Napolitano likes it. She's a dung beetle.
Well, maybe she is, but... she's a control freak. I mean, control freaks really like that kind of stuff. They, you know, maggots and all kinds of things get in there and grow and whatnot. But a regular human being, when you take off that nice wedding cake frosting with the little blue wheat stalks and stuff and the little global emblem and stuff, when you take that off of there, you ain't going to like what you see.
Well, I mean, the UN, because of its immunity it gave itself, because the bankers want to give their hedge funds immunity. I mean, they're giving everything immunity and just declaring it because they have guns. It's total piracy. It's law of the jungle, literally. They're creating a global government that they're exempt from. I mean, that's really it. It's so hellish, it's hard to believe. Bob Dacey, great job. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And people can visit you at the Hardware Store Incorporated at Spicewood Springs Road, 183.
Thank you for having me on, Alex. And death to the New World Order.
Death to the New World Order. Long live the Republic. We shall prevail. See you on the nightly news tonight. Big show coming up right now.